Hello, everyone, and welcome to Crucible Radio, the show for all things Destiny PvP. Today, we'll be talking about E3 and The Taken King. We'll be discussing The Last Word, Cauldron, and what to do when you're the first one to die. Hey, guys, this is Birds here.
Hey, Birds.
Yo.
Hey, Birds.
This is Bones speaking. Hey, how's it going, listeners?
Hey, buddy.
Hello. And this is Swainstash. How's everyone doing tonight?
We're doing so great.
Pretty good, man.
E3 just happened, and I'm like losing my mind. I'm not doing any work when I'm at work. All I have is the subreddits up, and I'm watching videos in the bathroom on my phone.
Refreshing.
I don't know how I'm going to make it to September.
Right, just the hype machine is in full effect right now, and it's just energy. Like, people are angry about it, people are excited about it, we're confused about how we feel, but we're definitely feeling these strong feelings right now.
It's like being a teenager all over again.
Right, just these hormones, what am I doing?
So today, this is we're gonna call it episode one. We are going to say this is the first official episode. If you listen to the pilot, you heard a little bit about us, a little about where we're coming from, how we're approaching Crucible, and just to reiterate a little bit, I'd say like we are all coming from a place where we know there's so much room to improve. How can we do that, and how can we help everyone else? And how can we enjoy the game? Does that sound right, guys?
I think so.
Yeah, we also want to, give you a little update, what we've been up to, what we've been working on. Give you a little glimpse into what we've been trying to tackle.
Definitely.
Well, Stash, how was your last week in the Crucible?
Cauldron was not very nice to me. Mm-mm. But, I have some other things going on outside of actually playing the game that are very game related. I have a room in my house that I'm trying to outfit to be like my command center type of deal. So
nice.
I've been trying to source everything through Craigslist, figure out what gaming monitor I want, and I've very quickly fallen down the rabbit hole of high-end accessories for gaming. So like scuff controllers.
Oh yeah, well, you gotta have the monitor. Gotta have the monitors. Scuff. Yep.
Yeah, so like
gotta have your Control Freak thumb pad.
Sure.
Those have been helping me out lately.
Gotta have your Gold Bond powder for your sweaty, sweaty hands.
Yeah, I mean I have almost all of those things, but that's kind of been my main focus outside of Destiny, figuring that out, what I want to put together, how I want to outfit that room. I'm also in the midst of getting a really nice internet connection, so hopefully that will help too.
Big difference.
But in the game, I've kind of been working on, with my Striker Titan, kind of when to back off, when to not give the extra kill that I've always been doing, playing real aggressive, but, going in, if I get the kill, back off if I'm hurt, unless it's, it's all clear. It's kind of getting in the mentality of, keeping my self alive, especially with the trials.
Hey, that's a good thing to aim for, staying alive.
I think so. Well, like, and you read the sub, and it's like everyone, for the most part, is like, all right, you want to run high armor first, which means you've got to sacrifice recovery. Now, granted, not everyone does it, but, like, I did it, and now I got to think, like, oh, it actually takes a while to, like, to bounce back, so I can't just, like, continually run down that hallway. Like, you actually have to change the way you play now that you can't just rely on that being there.
Yeah, I've always run with a multi-tool, so I run really low agility, so that like it gets made up through the perks in the gun.
So
I still have my recovery, I still have my armor, just the low agility.
Definitely. I actually, we just talked about this earlier today, but turns out that the Bungie website, if you're looking at your legend, it actually shows you your KD for the past week. So if you didn't know about that, it's a pretty useful tool, and I think I'm going to start checking that pretty regularly. I still use Destiny Tracker for the ridiculous amounts of stats, but that last week in review is pretty helpful, especially considering you know, trials being a weekly thing.
And also that you can split it amongst your different characters. So if you have three of them, you can see what, you know, how you did with your hunter, how you did with your titan. Kind of feel yourself out, you know. The one you use for trials, you kind of forget that one. You're like, all right, what else? How did normal Crucible go for the other two?
Yeah, yeah. And that was interesting, too, because this week was an interesting one for me. I have been, I don't know. I don't have anything so specific in mind. I just want to up my KD, and a lot of that is staying alive and not pushing through doors, because the amount of conflicts I ran into with doors and Cauldron, and we'll get to that later.
God, yeah.
But I played a lot of trials with my hunter, and my hunter's KD was not great, and I played a lot of control with my warlock, and my warlock's KD was really great for the past week. So I'm really interested. I clearly have one mindset, and it needs to be different for the two game types. So I'm gonna keep working on that.
Oh, definitely.
So yeah, so like looking at the last week, KD is helpful, just because if you look at my lifetime KD, it's, or just like my lifetime stats in general, it's kind of a sad story. Like, you know, you could just say like, okay, I learned how to play PvP shooters on Destiny, but I learned how to play them on the same character that I'm playing now. So like getting my last week KD and my lifetime KD like slowly becoming the same number is the goal. But, you know, this last week I got my perfect judgment. And it's like I've had a lot of great shotguns, you know, really since the beginning of the game. But to have like a really top tier shotgun that you can snipe more or less with and it fires fast, like it's, I've been learning how to like not think of shotgunning as like, okay, get real close and kill that one guy. It's okay, I got to go into this room now and there's three guys in there and I think I can get them all, or at least I'm going to give it a shot. But like learning how to chain together like one after the other, like, okay, that guy's taken care of. What's my radar saying?
That, and you know, figuring out the range, the actual range in game, because you know you can see that your shotgun has hammer forged or shot package, but what really is the extent of killing someone with that shotgun? Really?
Yep. Well, and a lot of that's like class specific. I mean, not the range, but you know, if you're going to rely on a shotgun and then immediate melee after to like clean up if you didn't quite get it. There's a huge difference in range between like a warlock going for that melee and, sorry, Stash, a titan going for that melee. Like a
little T-Rex on.
Yeah, right. You better be in close, man. So, yeah, you know, the other thing, and I mentioned this on the sub, like on a lot of maps, I just have my routes through. I'm trying to find other ways to get around, like just watching some of these montages, and not even just titans, but just like people who are up in the air the whole time. They're jumping over walls instead of going through doors, like a lot of stuff in Rusted Lands, just trying to stay off the ground, trying to stay out of my regular sort of, you know, rat paths and up in the air doing different things has been, I don't know, I die a lot more, but I think it's helping. I think I'm getting better.
Well, that's good.
Good.
So yeah, that's where we are, and I hope we can continue to update our listeners and stuff, and I think like that'll help people sort of understand how we're approaching the game, and maybe you can either do what we're doing, or if we're not doing great, don't do what we're doing, and that's also helpful too.
Both kinds of lessons.
Well, we weren't the only ones busy this week. It looks like Bungie was very busy at
yeah, they
E3.
Did some stuff. They did some stuff.
Kind of exciting. So, oh, yeah. I mean, there's so much stuff we saw is coming in The Taken King. I guess from a PvP point of view, what are you guys excited about?
I think we've got, like, oh man, too many interesting things. Just off the top of my head, there is two new game modes. New maps are always fun. There's armor re-rolling, supposedly, possibly. That's a whole nother conversation. And then three new subclasses. And I think the subclasses are going to be, you know, the biggest game changer we'll face in the first 2 years of Destiny is my estimation.
Oh, definitely.
What do you guys think about Mayhem? All supers, all the time, recharges, like you just keep hitting those double triggers.
I have one question, actually.
Shoot.
Does this affect my KD? Because it's not going to be good.
I'm going to say yes.
Well, I mean, you know, you got all those extra supers too. I mean, I suppose there's not going to be much running away. Just sort of keep running forward and let it charge up.
I think that's pretty crucial, is spacing people out. I think to make Mayhem work and to make it not just, you know, spend more time dead than more time than time alive, I think having that massive area and the different, it seems like there's regions of whatever map they were playing, and I think that was is what will make it, you know, feasible at all, because supers have a lot of speed and a lot of range, so you gotta be able to spread out, I think.
Well, so I don't know if you guys noticed it, but there was one map that they had. There was like a dark forest, kind of looked like Venus, but it looked like it had like active Vex portals on it. And I'm wondering, are those for decorations? Do they give presents, or can you travel with those? Like, kind of like portal through one and then out behind you on the other?
Yeah, I mean, it could be just a really quick way to, you know, transverse the map, if that's the right word. Because I imagine they would work like, you know, teleportation devices. And I think that's, you know, not unheard of in PvP and other games, at least. Like, did Halo do that? Because it's not, it makes me think of Halo for some reason.
I don't know, but it's going to be that much harder to, like, read your radar when you're standing next to one of them. Like, does the radar reach through the portal, or is it all of a sudden somebody's standing on top of you that wasn't there before? What if you're halfway through the portal? What? These are the important questions.
I'm just imagining myself, like, walking through a portal and coming out to four of the enemy team and just having no idea.
Just head right back through that portal.
Exactly. Just can't camp the portal with a shotgun.
It's going to get old quick, I think.
But Rift looks amazing.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, what do you guys think of Rift? The slam dunk moves, the capture the flag aspect actually coming to Destiny.
I mean, it seems like they kind of had to bring a capture the flag mode. I'm not, you know, I'm not sure about it. Like, it'll be interesting. I guess it depends how it plays. Like, you know, the way they set it up in the video where it's like, okay, one guy is running towards the goal and then four people are standing in a line and they're all shooting at him and then they dunk it and then all of those people die. Like, I guess it just depends on how it's executed. Like, I kind of just like deathmatch.
But I think we all know that the Destiny example videos and all of the E3 playthroughs on most games are just the worst example of how the game is actually played, though.
That's true.
Right. They never turn. Oh, but that blink, though. Get that slam dunk on a blink. That would be sick. I'm just excited for something that's fun and something sort of, you know, less intense, less highly competitive. It still can be competitive, but in a much different sense.
Yep. So what do you guys think about the new subclasses? I mean, we got three new subclasses, so it looks like every class has got each of the elements now.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. It's going to take so long for people to figure out the new meta now that, like, you're not going to know what to expect for a long time. And there's going to be a lot of people. I saw this on the main sub, like, a lot of Titans just, like, doing single jumps who can't do their lifts anymore as we're all trying to level this up, just people bunny hopping around the map trying to get there.
Well, this is a pretty good opportunity to discuss them one by one, and we sort of fall into the three classes, which works out pretty nicely because my favorite is Warlock. Birds, you play mainly Hunter, right? And Swain, you're a Titan, so we should each, you know, be the experts on those three classes.
I wouldn't call myself an expert, but I very thoroughly enjoy playing Titan, and I'm so super excited for the Sunbreaker class.
You know, there was that quote from the video where it's like it sounded like it was PvP specific. Like, when you see the Sunbreaker Titan coming around the corner, you're just going to want to turn and run in the other direction. Like, if that's a PvP class, I don't know what is.
Well, Swain, what do you find to be the most interesting PvP wise out of the new perks? And I know a lot of these perks are definitely subject to change, maybe even by the end of the week, if not definitely by September 15th, but we got quite a bit of information today.
Oh, definitely. I mean, with it all laid out in front of me as it is currently, I mean, the only thing I would say I'm upset about is the lack of a blink for a Titan, but, you know, I can look past that for all the great stuff that's coming with this new subclass. The range super for first, being able to not have to be right next to you, or playing a defensive mode. Having something that's offensive and ranged is amazing. Being able to turn the corner and either use, because it has the ability to be close and get close to you, kind of like shoulder charge with the hammer, but it also has that, you know, Thor type, throw the hammer, it comes back to you, throw the hammer again. I could see mm-hmm. that being like amazing for control. Everybody's crowded on a control point and you're just slamming hammers at people. Bam, 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 bam. But like I said, it seems pretty interesting. It's giving them a whole new aspect with, I'm not sure about the grenade, but with the way it works, you know, the ability to have an overshield is something new mm-hmm. without, you know, how like force barrier have to hit someone to kill them to gain your overshield.
Because we need it to be that much harder to kill a Titan in PvP. That's really what it was missing. So yeah,
we need it to be that much more scarier to be up close to a Titan, as if I already don't like it enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh yeah, yeah. The only thing about it is that the unknown is sunspots, because that seems to be mm-hmm. part of the you know, the perk tree. You got to be near a sunspot for something to, you know, have the effect. Or you have to be causing a sunspot, or it really is interesting. I would say one of the most interesting is Fleet Fire, which is when you get that bonus agility and reload speed that can stack up to 3 times. That has me intrigued, especially if you're mm-hmm. going to run like Armentarium and you're throwing grenades. You're going to be stacking that pretty quickly if you get those kills.
Yeah, what really intrigues me about the Sunbreaker is that, and this is just my opinion, but I can sort of back it up based on the leaderboards lately, is that there are very few really successful Titans in the top 100, for example. You know, with the exceptions of like AE Gabriel, who has found out how to permanently fly. It just seems that naturally a lot of Hunters, and then a decent amount of Warlocks sort of excel. And I feel like Sunbreaker takes the successful elements and really just sort of nails it on those.
Yeah, could you imagine him using this class and running at you with a flaming hammer?
Yes.
I don't like it.
So in addition, yeah, to skating, he's got a flaming hammer to throw. He's also got an agility boost. And when he's powered up, they've got like that on-demand shoulder charge for just like instant directional changes. It's like a drive-by revive you can do in Trials now, except everybody dies when he runs by.
That's why I don't play on Xbox.
Yeah, right.
So what do you guys think of the other two? It seems as though the Hunter is more of a PvE type of super. What do you think it would have any use in PvP?
I mean, so the big question, right, is how does the super work in PvP? Like I was watching the video, and for a second, like there is one clip of people getting tethered by it. And I think in a map mode like Mayhem, where like it makes sense to want to tie everybody together mm-hmm. so you can bring in a Titan Smash, you know, where you can rely on somebody who can immediately follow up with the super. You know, it looks like there's a couple chances to, you know, you can fire like additional explosive arrows. Maybe those are one hit kill. But it's just hard to say, like, until we know how much damage it does, whether it does damage over time, just like how it works. It's hard to know, like, it seems like that's going to be the thing that tips it, that makes it competitive or not.
Right.
But the thing that I'm really curious about with the Night Stalker is the melee. So you've got smoke, right? Which, as far as I can tell, is basically like what the Hive Wizards are doing. And I don't know if it's like a throwing knife, so it's like kind of a ranged melee. But I'm looking at it, and it's like, okay, it slows people down, it disorients them, and it can do damage over time. It seems like, for me, the big problem with Hunters is that like there's maybe one or two good grenades. It seems mm-hmm. like this is kind of the best grenade. Like you've got a little bit of Titan flashbang, a little bit of lightning grenade. There's just a different grenade section, and you can carry double grenades as well. Like as sort of an area of control, kind of like I'm playing on a 6v6, and I'm just like, I'm dominating certain sections of the map and forcing people into the rest of my team. I could see it working like that. Like, there's a place for defenders in a 6v6, so maybe Night Stalker works the same way.
I feel like Night Stalker, and we just talked about how hard it is to kill a Titan, and I think Night Stalker is going to be incredibly difficult, not because they can take as many shots, but because how do you hit them? They've got, you know, blinding abilities. They've got, I mean, look at the Keen Scout perk. We've got Enhanced Motion Tracker. You mark targets for your allies and stuff like that. Like, that is as team player as it gets.
I like the Gloam Ranger, where you can tether your fire team and give them less damage to them and give them increased damage output. That could be interesting for something like Trials. You tether both of your guys, and then all of a sudden, no one can kill them.
Yep, that's like Weapons of Light and Blessing of Light combined together.
I can really see a lot of these working for Trials.
Yep.
Yeah, it'd be like a mobile bubble.
Yeah, right? Well, and I wonder, like, I just want to see what that Shade Step looks like. It's going to be the kind of thing where everybody is running Shade Step or nobody is running Shade Step, but... like, to be able to do a duck and roll out of the way, like, in every other game, like, it's not a slide that doesn't kill your momentum. It can go lateral, so you can, like, come up and still be facing, you know, towards your opponent. That's going to be an interesting one.
They really like to put those, like, hard choice perks in that last little bubble, three bubbles.
Yep.
And I feel like that's going to continue with these three.
Yeah, no doubt.
So this Stormcaller, though.
Everyone's nightmare. I legitimately got like, I was like, oh my god, it was terrifying when it, like, you see in the stream they did yesterday, just a warlock come out of nowhere just floating around like a wizard, and I was like, oh my god, make it stop.
In the words of, you know, Senator Palpatine, unlimited power.
I mean, that's the comparison, right? Like, this super is, I'm so excited about this. I just started leveling up my baby warlock because I don't have the patience for alts, but I got to get it ready for this because, I mean, every other super, you're either up close and doing a lot of damage, but you're in the thick of it, or you can be way at a distance with, you know, Gunslinger or the Voidwalker, but there's not a great, like, middle range one where you can attack a group of people, you can have some distance, but you can just area effect like an entire room and, I don't know, maybe get guaranteed kills. Like, that's just a super that doesn't really exist anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. And part of the thing is, like, in PvP especially, I love Voidwalker and I love Blade Dancer for Blink. Let's be honest, Blink is an amazing tool in the Crucible. And I am a little nervous if none of these new three ones have Blink. But with this super, it seems like mobility is still the almost top priority because it has the, you know, what's it called? Electric Glide. It kind of does allow you to teleport, which is essentially Blink. And you can chain hits, you can, you know, float and stuff like that. It seems like mobility is still a top priority here. And that makes this thing that much more dangerous because Blade Dancers, crazy fast, get up close, you're dead. But you still have, you know, that you get enough time to react and you can take him down. With this thing, he's going to be moving on you and sidestepping and all that sort of thing. And then he's still going to hit you from 10, 15 feet away.
Yep. Yeah.
And that makes this pretty scary.
That was probably the scariest part was when I was reading it and they were like, oh, they're enhancing the melee on the warlock. That didn't need to happen. Could you make my T-Rex arms a little bit longer? So I can at least counteract your melee. But
I do feel for the Titans a little bit when I heard that. Also, Stormcallers are stealing your lightning grenades, which arguably one of the best, if not the best grenade in a lot of PvP scenarios. So Stormcallers are not to be trifled with, that's for sure.
You're going to have to take my flashbangs from my cold dead hands.
Well, and you run Armamentarium, so we'd have to take both of your flashbangs from either of your cold dead hands.
In short, again, so excited.
So this next segment, like, we wanted to introduce sort of a recurring topic every week, and we decided let's talk about a different gun and a different map every week. I think for the first gun that we talk about is no question. This is by a mile my favorite gun. Let's talk about The Last Word.
I feel the same. It's been my favorite gun for a while. When I finally just committed to it in PvP, I had a blast. and it's been really helping me out in trials. Thorn be damned. So I love this gun.
You know, yeah. I'm go ahead.
I was going to say, I was a late adopter. I just recently picked it up, so I'm excited to get into the ins and outs of it. I've had it. It's like, if you could see my Titan right now, it is strapped to his back. It is ready to go. I haven't taken it off. Occasionally, I'll put my multi-tool back on, but it's been pretty great. You know, I've even gone out and got those reload arms.
Oh yeah. Gotta have them. I mean, I think my favorite thing about it is that it's got, like, in a way that no other gun really does, it has a built-in learning curve. Like, there are stages to learning how to use the last word. Like, for sure, when I started off, it's, okay, it's a Thorn, right? I'm going to aim down the sights. I'm going to try and snipe with it. It's got great range. Aim for headshots, and I'm going to, you know, bang, 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 bang. And then you go up against people who are masters of the last word, and maybe you even get the jump on him and you keep dying to him and you go, okay, there's something else going on here. And then you start to explore all the other ways you can use it. And that's really when it takes off.
Yeah, I actually really, I used it a lot before I kind of accepted that I could hip fire it. You know, obviously that's the exotic perk and what you're supposed to do in a lot of situations, but it was so foreign compared to every other gun in the game, where I just didn't believe that that would, you know, save my life in so many scenarios.
I would say the like you said, it was the hip firing that was hardest for me to get accustomed to. Like, the perk does let you hip fire with more accuracy. So letting it get those headshots on its own without having to aim down sights first was probably the hardest learning curve for me initially.
It definitely has a steep one. And what's doubly interesting about that hip fire, and I don't know, I think this came up on the sub, and I don't know if there was some concrete evidence, but I believe that there is an advantage to this gun shooting it in the air, hip firing. I think that exotic perk does help it a little bit, and I was actually watching Twilight Gap's stream. Mm-hmm. He was playing Hunter. He had his gunslinger out with double knives, and what he would do is he'd hit the knife first, jumping into the air at the same time, and then just, you know, pop off a few last word rounds like from, you know, 15 feet in the air, and he was knocking them down because they were already so low and all he needs is like one or two body shots, and it actually worked really amazingly well. And I took that into my Voidwalker a little bit, and, you know, I tried to, you know, prep them with a grenade, and if you get them hurt a little bit or if someone's distracted, all you got to do is, you know, swing it in their direction and it takes them down. And it's an interesting strategy. I liked it a lot.
I mean, there's such a synergy between the hip fire and the fan fire aspect of it. Like, okay, so you're hip firing. Let's say it's not, I mean, full auto. You're hip firing, and so you're aiming for headshots, right? You're trying to get that extra bonus damage. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I realized, like, there was a shift in my playing. You mentioned streamers. I was watching She's My Nerd, and he was talking about how he's gotten into the habit of just holding the trigger when he shoots it. And to, like, be able to go into an engagement, and I'm just aiming for center of mass. I'm not aiming down sights. I'm just trying to get that first reaction. And then I'm holding it down, and just, like, the rhythm of the gun is pulling it up towards that headshot. So by the time I get my third shot, it's a headshot, and that little extra bit of damage is enough to give me a three-shot kill or a four-shot kill instead of, you know, the five shots it might take me aiming down sights with body shots.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest parts is trusting it. I think the hardest part is just trusting that gun to get the job done, and it will. If you are up close, it's so tempting to, you know, switch to your shotgun, but that delay gets you killed, or, you know, try to run away, but it will, you know, I've taken out many a sliding shotgunner with the last word, because that thing, you know, it defends you up close.
Yeah, I mean,
you can take down people who are doing their supers. Like, having a Blade Dancer come towards you and just, like, bang, bang, bang with the last word and they're down is such a satisfying feeling.
Absolutely.
But getting back to the aiming for the center of mass, it works perfectly with just two of those perks in the last word, though, the Aggressive Ballistics and the Perfect Balance. I feel like that's the stock run for the last word. Do you guys agree?
I agree.
I don't think
I would.
Yeah, nothing else. makes sense. And I don't think you ever see it anywhere else. Like, would you really turn down free damage or, like, better recoil?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, and I mean, especially with the hipfire, if you are aiming down sights, you might want an accuracy or something like that, or, like, the Thorn has its range and accuracy perk, but with that stability, I mean, you know, it's we say it has a high learning curve, but eventually you just learn that aiming it in the direction and holding the trigger is not a bad strategy.
It works really, really well.
It does.
Well, and I think my favorite part about the last word, like, I dreamt about this gun for a long time, and I it was when they did the new PvP update that we kind of saw coming, that mm-hmm. I knew that they had to sell it just to, like, level the playing field now that you can't just rely on a shotgun, you can't rely on heavy so much. But more than anything else, it's because I got to be a space cowboy now. Like, that the PvP in this game is not people with laser rifles or anything else. It is wizards running around with cowboy guns is the best part.
I think I do have to say, I think it is in the top five, competing for the number one slot as coolest looking and coolest stylized exotic gun. I just think it's such a beautiful addition to the game.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it works really well with my setup currently, too, with, like, the running a sniper rifle. I've been trying to get my headshots. I've been trying to, like, work on that as well. And pairing that with the last word for those close encounters when they get real up in your face, it works really well together.
Speaking of close encounters and getting killed by the last word and killing a lot of people up close, can we talk about Cauldron?
Do we have
to? It was a huge part of all of our weekends, for better or for worse.
It was.
And did you guys, I guess I can, you know, judge by the tone of your voice that you did not enjoy the Cauldron too much.
You know, I'll say this, like, Cauldron is bonkers for 6v6. Like, it is, you have to be so aware of what's going on around you that I thought, okay, like, threes is not going to be so bad. But I was thinking about it, like, every room, every area has got at least four different entrances to it spaced all around, sometimes five different entrances. And the only hallways are, like, the two in the back, or maybe, like, the tunnel by the green room. And even those are, like, there's such huge, like, filters, just funnels going into each of them, that it pays to be, like, it's a map that pays you to be really aggressive in your flanking, because there's so many flanking opportunities. I just got outflanked this weekend. Like, I need another trials with that map before I'm even going to start to feel like I got a handle on it.
I think one of the parts I ran into trouble with, and, you know, I really like what you said earlier about, you have your routes on map, you know, your rat lanes that just, you just go there naturally. This is the main path you take every time. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. What I think was so difficult about Cauldron was that it's so small and you're so close to the other team. I'm speaking strictly trials here, but you're so close, and the engagements happen so fast that you almost don't remember to take the time to think about, like, where else can I go? I think so much of so many rounds that I played involved who could get to be first, Or are you just going to go straight outside and attack? And I think a bad habit with that map is just sort of, like, you know, as soon as you spawn, you are panicked. Where are they coming from? And you just sort of, you know, kind of shut down a little bit and go to your spots. And that really gets you killed a lot. It got me killed a lot. I remember spawning, running inside B, and immediately there's two doors opening and I didn't know where to look.
Yep.
And that map is just, it's so fast. And you just have to sort of really breathe and think about what you're doing before letting that engagement happen.
Oh, for someone like me, though, it was a perfect map for working on call-outs, because every room is different. Every room has its aspects, and getting the right call-outs, you know, communicating with the rest of my fire team was working really well on this map, because you can be like, oh, I'm in green room, I'm in red room, I'm, you know, they're back in blue, they're back in blue. You know, back heavy, outside heavy, on the bridge, you know, B, you know, it was great. It was like,
yeah,
it helped the people that I play with pretty often that aren't, you know, they're still learning PvP as well. It's kind of like perfect. You know, they understood where everything was going and it worked well, but, you know, being new to it, it was still, you know, we still got killed pretty quickly because, like you said, we were going down those.
Yeah, it's,
you know, filtering into those kill zones.
It's so crucial to be talking a lot during that map, because if you're not, there's no time to think. There's no time to, you know, scan your radar and check where they're coming from. You just got to be ready. And having a teammate telling you, you know, he's coming up the stairs or he's at their spawn, you know, it saves your life more often than not. So that map especially is just, oh, it's constant. You can never stop thinking.
You know, I mean, on a big map, when you die, right? Like, so you get to watch the outline of the person who killed you. On a big map, like, they get far enough away, and you have no idea where they are. Like, you can kind of see what direction they're in. You can take a guess at what room they're in, or if they're inside or outside. But there's just not much you can tell. A nice thing about Cauldron, if you're the first one to die, and that may or may not have been me in a lot of scenarios, like, You can tell exactly what a person's doing. Like, if you die at sea, you know exactly what part of the altar they're in because you've got the height differences. You've got the directions people run to sort of go through those back hallways. You can see what door someone is coming through at mid. Like, dying at B, if you're going to die, it's a pretty good place to die because there's so many ways you can get to it. But you can just, I mean, you be radar for your whole team, you know, and that can be the difference between them picking up a revive or not.
Mm-hmm. Before we get fully into what to do when you die and kind of moving on from the Cauldron, you know, I know everyone loves it and they just want us to talk about Cauldron for the rest of the podcast, but we can't, guys. We can't. We have to. There's a lot to PvP. We cannot just discuss the Cauldron. If you want to start your own podcast dedicated to the Cauldron,
Cauldron Cast,
feel free. Cauldron Cast, Podrin, I don't care. We just have to move on. But I will say, the one lighthouse trip I did have this weekend, I avoided those doors to be like the plague. I can't even say how important it is to just not crouch down there and let a warlock hit you with a firebolt. You know, no crouching, no peeking through doors. If you're a great sniper, snipe through that door because there's probably someone just perched on the other side, not moving around. And I think that map, I'm interested to see the what's it called, the heat map from the update on that map, because I think most of the time someone spends an entire round just on that door between A and B, and stop doing that. That's all I can say.
I mean, there was one really cool piece of teamwork that I saw on the streams that I think is really specific to this map. Is you have one guy who watches the door, who sets up the snipe, and I think snipers had the edge on this map. Like, you can wreck with a shotgun for sure, but there's so many different angles. So you have one guy set up with, you know, setting up the lane, and then you have another guy whose job is to open the door. Like, you don't want to look in the door, you don't want to see what terrible thing is coming on the other side of that door. You just want to kind of like edge up from the side and just get it to pop open so everyone can chuck their grenades at each other so your snipers can go to work. And I saw that strategy working over and over and over again. And it's like, and you need mics, you need team players, you need to be able to call out that strategy in order for it to work.
Yeah, it's all about baiting them out. I think another thing about the doors is, and this is just my general advice, I think it applies to most maps, it certainly did on Widow's Court with those high walls that you can jump over, yes, but a big problem, I think, is running into any room. I think unless you know your flank is already looking inside, or you know your team is right behind you, or you have a Fist of Havoc that you're dying to use, I think it's so crucial to be careful going into a place, because if you are getting attacked, your team can't see. They know you're getting hit, but there's just, you know, there's a wall or there's a door, and they have no idea where to look. And they're, you know, they're far away from you. And I think it's about timing. You know, it's about, if you're gonna go in, make sure someone else is either right behind you or right behind the enemy, because walking into a room, walking through a door, or jumping over a wall on Widow's Court will get you killed so fast.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Ugh. Doors.
Just the worst. I think something I'm taking into the next trials, but just trying to take into my gameplay is, like, you know, I do okay, right? Like, if I'm just playing like pubs or like, you know, playing some control, I'm usually in the top slot. Like, that's not tough. But if I was judged by my very first death, I would be at the very bottom, because like when you have instant respawn, you've got people spread out over the map, you sort of have a natural flow that takes place in hot areas, and people are just sort of magnetically drawn to it. But with trials, absolutely, you don't have time for that. Like, you have to be on your game from the first minute when you have no knowledge of what's going on, and you can't just, like, you know, be the sacrificial lamb so everyone else knows where the action is. You kind of have to find it out without dying in the process, and that's, I'm putting on my list. You'll see it on the top three posts.
That first blood. Yeah. You don't want to be first blood.
Nope. Don't want to be last blood either. You don't want blood at all.
Yeah, the goal, again, stay alive.
Yep. Solid trials advice right there.
All right, but there is some, end of, you know, podcast. There is some, that's the only point.
You know, stop dying so much.
Next week, we'll talk about not dying, and after that, don't die anymore.
Yep. Kill them, also. Got to make sure you do that. But you don't die.
Use the guns.
use weapons. There's this cool thing called supers.
Yep. Jump around. Throw a grenade.
Oh, jumps are good.
You can crouch if you want, but you don't have to crouch.
And you can always, you know, to really guarantee that you'll never die, and we can't make a ton of guarantees on this podcast, but one guarantee I can make is that if you just go to orbit by holding triangle, you'll never die in that game.
Yep. That, I think that was the strategy I used in my first PvP match.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
You
just, it worked great.
You're out of there.
I actually just stopped going to Crucible after that, and my KD was awesome.
Yeah, you never died. Yep. It's foolproof. Yep.
You just get, start a new account, kill one person, back to orbit.
Right? 100%.
I think your KD is still just one, though, which is not that impressive in the long run.
Well, whatever. I'll get two on my next character.
Yeah, there you go. Right. But when you do die, and it happens to all of us, there's ways you can still help your team, right, guys?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it definitely does not come from when you die, you don't want to be, all right, let me completely space away from Destiny. Like, oh, well, I had a tuna sandwich for lunch today. What do you guys like? You guys like tuna? No, you want to be still in the game, especially with trials. You want to be communicating. You want to be, like you said before, you want to be telling your fire team where the guy who killed you is. You know, communicating, because you can see around the map. You can see from everyone's perspective. So you're switching, you know, around your fire team. You're switching to your ghost, kind of relaying, you know, all the important information that your other members of your fire team can't get.
Yeah, you are the eyes in the back of your teammate's head when you're dead, because, you know, telling, hey, he's coming up the stairs can be, you know, if they get turned around, if they have time to do a 180 and engage that person, that saves their life. And that's all because you were able to see that when they were, you know, totally focused on something else. And that's a huge, huge, you know, what's it called? Advantage when you have a little beacon that literally follows the dude who killed you around the map. I mean, use that. That person is going to be either guarding you or chasing after your teammates, and you just let them know, and then game over.
Another big thing is, like, when you are dead, especially in trials, if they are camping your body, you need to let the others know. When you're like, mm-hmm. that, you don't want your fire team to rush in to a trap. You want to make sure, you know, it's all clear, come get me. And when you do say that, you want to make sure, like, you can see the guy, he's halfway across the map, he's chasing after the one remaining guy, and you can be like, all right, loop back around, you know, come all the way back to B, I'm here, I'm ready to be revived.
Mm-hmm. I mean, definitely some of that just, like, high level direction stuff, like, I definitely, you know, I've got a lot of practice dying first. I definitely, like, one thing that I'm not good at is I'll give too much detail in callouts. So it's like, okay, there's two guys in A. All right, one of them's heading to B. Oh, no, he started to head back to A. No, they're both going to B now. Okay, one of them's going through the top door, one's going through the bottom door. And, like, and that information is useful, but if it's, I mean, if you're just, like, narrating every step they take, you can't really get a lot of information out of it. And a lot of that stuff is kind of available by someone just watching the radar. So, like, mm-hmm. like you say, like, being able to say, like, okay, you can watch you and the area around you. You can see where the red is. To be able to say, like, you know, high level, let's go all the way back around through Alter. You're clear to do that loop now. Like, that's the kind of thing that somebody can hear, and it's going to take them a second to process it, but then they can act accordingly on that. Whereas just saying, like, behind you, behind you, behind you, is as likely to, you know, sort of throw them off as it is to...
I'm definitely
guilty. Yeah, speaking of being vocal, in a whole other sense, something I really need to work on is my... And not my attitude. I'm not mad at the game or anything like that, but it's frustrating to die in any case. And something that I end up doing is when I'm alive, I'm silent. I'm focused. I like really want to do it. I don't want to talk. I don't want to miss this shot. So I, you know, like I just tense up. And when I'm dead, I kind of just, you know, I got to let up that tension that's been cramping up in my hands while I'm alive. And it's, you know, you're so tempted to, oh, well, I'm dead and now I can relax, or just sort of be like, this round sucks, or like, damn, that guy sniped me. And I hate getting sniped for one thing. Yep. It is my least favorite thing in the game. If someone snipes me, I am so mad. But it is tough not to just sort of, you know, vent a little bit, especially in a really close game. And something I'm really trying to work on is shutting up when I'm dead and being helpful, and when I am alive, still being helpful with communication, because you are as important to your teammates when you're alive as when you are dead, and being able to tell them what's going on, well, and or at least saying what you're doing. And that's something I really need to work on.
Also, on top of that, being positive while you're playing affects everyone mm-hmm. in your fire team's, you know, mood. If you're positive, you're being like, all right, yeah, you know, that guy was a really good sniper. He got me real good. Instead of, oh, I hate Thorn. What, you know, how did that miss?
When are they going to nerf it?
Yeah,
right. Yeah. Start talking about the meta. You know?
No one wants to hear that. They always hear that. If they want to hear that, they can, you know, go online. They can go to the Bungie forums. They can
the forums. Oh boy.
Yeah, they can hear that there. They don't come, especially with me. I work a lot, so I come home and I relax. And the last thing I want to do is, you know, yell and be bad and complain. I want to have a good time. I want to, you know, shoot some guns at some space cowboys.
Right.
This is gonna sound a little camp counselor esque, but this is one thing I actually learned that really helped me. I'm on an improv team. We do comedy shows. We go up on stage and embarrass the crap out of ourselves to like 12 people. And a lot of times it's awful and no one laughs at you for 12 minutes. And then you have to go sit down and you're just like, well, that sucked. And your teammates all think it sucked too. You just sort of go home like, why am I doing this? And one thing I noticed, and I started trying to do more, is no matter the show, if we make people laugh or if we embarrass ourselves, I try to tell my teammates individually, I say like, hey, great show. So no matter the outcome, we all going like, hey, yeah, I feel good. I like doing this. And that sounds fake. You know, it sounds like you're just lying to your teammates, even if they didn't have a great game. But just that sort of like positive encouragement constantly makes the game more fun and makes people want to play better. And it makes people think like, yes, this is great. I don't care if I'm losing. This is cool. And so just, I don't know, kind of reassuring your teammates like, hey, I like playing with you and we did great in that round no matter the outcome. It really will help your game. And I know that sounds lame, but it has an actual impact on my mood, and I believe it works for others as well.
I mean, one thing that people, like, I've said it in parties before and like I just get dead silence, but it's really true. And this is a limiting thing for me in some ways, but honestly, I don't care if I die. I really don't. Like, I care if I let my team down, and I care if I die in a way that I just could have avoided by not making a stupid mistake. And that gets frustrating. But the reality is, like, if I have a bad ticket, like, okay, I had a bad ticket, right? Like, I got used to dying a lot. I got used to being terrible, and it made me better the whole way. So it's like, all right, if I'm first to go, or, you know, if we lose a match we probably could have won, like, it's not productive for me to apologize or to, you know, to rage out or to, you know, ask the Bungie gods how they could do this to you. Like, if you're like totally clear in your head, you're playing the next game. You're ready for the next round. Like, you're just reacting to the things that are happening and you're getting into that flow state. And, yeah, you know, I'll get to the lighthouse when I get to the lighthouse. Like, you know, if I earn it. But if I get outclassed by a better team, you know, big deal, right?
It's just funny because it does suck to lose, and it sucks. You know, I take it so intense, and my heart rate is always pounding in trials. But also, there's just no way that one death really impacted the outcome of that final match. I mean, if it's down to one death, it means it's probably 4-4, and you lost four other rounds before that. Never get down on yourself for that one thing or that one event. And it's just sort of like, yeah, like, eh, whatever. I mean, I could have changed the outcome maybe in that moment, but there's so much other things involved. There's a lot to it. It's not just my game and my fault or my success. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say, it only costs 100 glimmer if you want to cancel out that ticket.
Yeah, we're not going
nine
broke.
Passage coins.
Oh, sweet passage coins. I mean, if you want to beat yourself up, or you want to figure out what you did wrong, or try and get better, there's a time for that. That's why we play on consoles, to let you record your matches. Like, go ahead, exactly. Watch it back, analyze it, figure out what you did wrong, come up with some things to work on, take that into the crucible. Like, that's the time when you feel bad for not competing as strong as you could have. But when you're competing, you got to compete. You got to be ready for the next one.
Or do what I do and save all your highlights, compile a reel where you carefully crop the start of a good kill and the end of a good kill, and carefully leave out the part where you get blindsided by a shotgun immediately after that super, and then put it all together and put a cool song on it, and you'll feel great.
Yep, and everyone will tell you how great you are, which is
exactly
pretty nice.
Just do not look at Destiny Tracker with my name.
Right? My name is my name. You could look me up, and you could probably go, oh, hey, I'm better than that guy. Yeah, you probably are, but it's fine. I don't mind. I'm okay with
that. We're all having fun.
Right? It is a game. So we got a lot of opinions on this. I know another guy who's got a lot of opinions. He was one of the first people to do an AMA on the subreddit. He's a huge force in trials, and he is putting in the hours, carrying through all of his subscribers every weekend. Let's listen to my conversation with Texas Prod. Joining us today, we have a Twitch streamer and Blink Shotgunner extraordinaire, Texas Prod. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks, Burst. Thanks for having me, man.
So, I got a bunch of questions written down, but is there anything in particular you want to cover, you want to talk about?
I think I definitely want to talk about maybe the Trials map this week.
Sure.
And definitely the benefit of being able to adapt and playing the different classes. I started playing Blink Shotty, and that was on Friday, and now today is Saturday at 4:45, and I'm now sniping on a Sunsinger. So I was forced to adapt a little bit. I'm used to playing Blink Shotty, so there's a lot of tight corridors, and it becomes a nade trap. Every single corner is a nade trap.
Yep.
And with all these ceilings, it's hard to blink around like I like to. I play Bumper Jumper, so I can aim around in the air, so I love blinking around in the air coming down on enemies. I can't really do that well on this map. And since the power point on top of the map is those top three platforms. So it's, besides blinking to the platforms, which really has zero cover at all, there's not many benefits to using blink in this map, at least for me. And even on the ship, if you blink anywhere, there's no cover. So I've switched to using Sunsinger with Firebolts and a Void Fang build.
So if you can't really use blink, would you? I mean, is that why you're using a sniper? Is a shotgun not worth it if you can't blink around?
Not necessarily. I started using the shotgun, and I switched because I started playing with my buddy Der Schnitzel this morning, and we were having a lot of success rushing up to the top, getting control of our platform, and then getting a pick with the sniper. And as soon as you get a pick with the sniper, you can either both throw your grenades in the middle room to push them back, or you can try to throw grenades on the bodies to force them off the revive. So what we would do is we would get one pick, and then he was playing Blade Dancer, but sniping, using the last word. I'm using last word as well on my Sunsinger.
Uh-huh.
Because the dots don't stack with Thorn.
Mm-hmm.
So we would pick one, and then push as fast as possible, and And yeah, that's, I mean, we would clean, we'd clean each other's kills and try to take different paths. But we would definitely work on getting that first pick, and I think on this map especially, it's really crucial, those first 15, 20 seconds.
Yep. Well, you know, one thing I've heard you say on the streams, especially when you're playing with, like, a subscriber who's just sort of following your lead, like, you're always telling people to push up, be aggressive, like, you got to close in on it. I mean, that seems like probably the main piece of advice a lot of people should take into trials. Like, it doesn't matter if you get a snipe if they just run up and get the revive on it.
And that is absolutely true, because if you look at a team before the match starts, you'll find that almost every single team has at least one person running a Crest Alpha Loopy,
yep,
a you know, Light Beyond Nemesis, any of those fast revive armor pieces. And honestly, a lot of teams, if you're smart, you will throw yourself at revives to the point where it's, because the shield saves you. And with one of those fast revive pieces, most people don't understand, you can literally sprint through the ghost and hold X,
yep,
and you'll get the revive. And it's so annoying when you play against teams that have like a bunch of strikers with like flashbangs trying to push with a shotgun. You come in and get flashbanged, and they automatically revive two people in 2 seconds, and you just get destroyed. So definitely, I tell people to push, because there's nothing worse than when you kill two people, the third guy's one shot, and then he just gets fast revives.
Yep. Well, so let me ask you. So we're on what, like week 5 or so of trials? I want to say 4 or 5, something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, so House of Wolves, but trials in particular, especially in the streaming world, seemed like it just changed everything. Like, what? I mean, your weekend now is going to be a lot of trials, but I don't know. Like, what's the difference you've noticed in PvP that, aside from just the fact that trials are there, I mean, how has it changed the gameplay?
Let's see. I would say that there's more of an emphasis on teamwork. Not so much, obviously, in the sixes playlist, but
sure,
in the threes especially. Like, I played Elimination when it was out, and you could definitely tell that people were out there practicing.
Yep.
Scrimmage as well. You see a lot more teams, and you see a lot more emphasis on team play. I definitely notice a change in how often people are reviving and the frequency of seeing those high revive or those fast revive armor pieces. I see them like every single match. I mean, even sometimes Blade Dancers wearing the Crest Alpha Loopy.
Yep.
So those would be the two biggest changes, I think.
So, you know, one thing that's been interesting to me is I think Trials and House of Wolves was, it got a lot of people into PvP who'd been playing Destiny forever but just stayed out of it. And it's been interesting, especially like on the sub, you see a lot of people come in who kind of want to know, like, okay, where do I find a pickup group for this? Or, like, what's the cheese? What am I supposed to do here? And the answer is always tough. Like, well, you got to have two other guys that you've played a lot of PvP with, that you communicate with.
I would say, you know, you're exactly right. A lot of people don't understand that the PvP is just not something you can just jump into. I mean, you have to be able to, yes, you have to know the strats, you have to know how to adapt, you have to know your class, I mean, all of that. But if you can't execute, it doesn't matter. So really, more than anything, it's all about practice. Practicing with a team. I mean, I would say, honestly, the first step starts with, if you can find a PvP clan, join it. Because you're going to be playing with better people, you're going to be playing against better people if they schedule matches. You're gonna learn how to work as a team. I mean, that's honestly the number one tip I can give to someone who's just coming in to PvP, who's like, you know, I kind of want to take this serious. And, you know, months ago when I was like, okay, PvE is boring, I have everything, nothing else to do, let's see if I can get into PvP. You know, I played Halo competitively here and there. It's like, all right, I'll try it out. And first thing I did was look for a clan, and you know, it was hard at first, but now we have resources like the 100.io, which is great. You've got DestinyClanWars.com, which I put in caps anytime anyone asks how I can, you know, where I can find a clan. Go to Destiny Clan Wars, look at the past leaderboards for PvP events, and find an active clan that's on your console. And you know, we got a lot of activity from that. And I'm not gonna lie, the Crucible could get stale before Trials came out, and now with House of Wolves and Trials, there's so much to do.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the clan. Like, how did you get hooked up with Inclement? Like, would you do a tryout? You know, how did you get to know people? I think a lot of people just, like, we get that sub, the question all the time on the sub, like, okay, I know a clan, like, what do I do now? So, I don't know, yeah, talk about your experience looking for them and finding them.
Well, I can tell you my experience was definitely not an easy one. When I first started looking for clans, I scoured every single forum, every single subreddit, every single source I could find, even going to the Bungie forums, God help me.
Brave man.
Recruitment forums, oh my goodness. But, you know, if you're looking for a really true competitive clan, there's just not many out there. So I had been just playing with my IRL friends, picking people up from raids or something like that, where we would play PvP afterwards and be like, hey, you know, they're kind of good. So that's how it started for me, and then I was like, okay, I want to take this to the next level. So I looked everywhere, and then eventually I Googled, like, Destiny PvP clan, and, like, Void's clan website came up. Messaged a couple elders on there, was able to set up a tryout, and then that's really how I got into the competitive clan community.
So let me ask, when you came in, were you good? Like, people just want to know numbers, like, what was your KD, what was your win-loss? But, like, how long did you play PvP before you felt comfortable sort of reaching out? Or did you come in, like, you know, when you started getting serious about the Crucible, you were already pretty hot, you know, you kind of had the skills in place?
Well, I thought I was good, but I didn't think I was that good. And I really didn't think I was that good once I started playing with some of these guys. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
I was like, their teamwork is impeccable. Uh-huh. I didn't understand. Before, I was just, you know, I was like a Carmelo Anthony. Just, no, you know, no teamwork at all. Just, like, not really winning that much, you know. Just doing what I can. But playing with my IRL friends. And I would say, yeah, it's definitely a big change. It's definitely different.
So we've got trials, but then there's the other side of it, which is sort of like sweaties and tournaments, which, as far as I can tell, seem to be most of what competitive clans were doing before trials came along. I don't know, what's your experience with sweaties been, and like how much of a role does that still play in, you know, a given week?
Recently, we've been picking the sweaties back up a lot. We try to run them every Wednesday and Thursday, sometimes on Tuesday as well. But with trials, when we've got so much stuff going on with the clan, it's just been hard recently. But we used to run sweaties every single day. You know, just we have a kick chat that we all communicate with, and we would try to run sweaties as often as possible, because that's what really makes you better, playing against the best competition you have on your friend list, you know. Mm-hmm. Playing with teams that you play with. I mean, so we would have challenges where we'd be like, all right, let's put me, Worn Out Pen, and Invicta on the same team, and we'll have our, you know, our new members try to play against us and see what they can do. You know, just stuff like that. You know, we would challenge our guys to be better. You know, and they would also challenge us a little bit, because we didn't have that much teamwork playing together, but we're all pretty good players. So, I mean, sweaties I definitely think are really, really important. At times it can be a pain in the butt to match, and if you don't know anyone, I would say it is exceptionally hard right now to find people for matches, because it's very almost underground, and if you don't know the people who, you know, if you don't know the people to contact, then you have no one to play. So, you know, the Destiny Sweaty LFG is a nice little startup, and I'm going to be trying to working with that and getting it active, and I'm looking forward to that, and I'm hoping that can be kind of a source to find sweaty matches.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, cool. So, all right, well, let's talk guns a little bit. Like, I've watched your stream a lot. I think, like, you rocked the last word. You know, you were running a sniper today. But when I think about your play style, I'm thinking Thorn and Blink shotgun.
That's the main.
Right? So yep. Blink shotgun is so much fun to be good at, and it's really frustrating to die to.
Yes.
But, I mean, I think a lot of people, like, I think I'm okay at it as a style. I definitely prefer a shotgun to a sniper. But it definitely takes some practice. I mean, for someone who's got a decent shotgun now, or maybe even that, like, if for someone who wants to get started, you know, what should they be looking at for shotguns? What do you like? What perks are important to you? And how do you practice something like that?
Oh, shotgun. Let's start with perks. For shotgun perks, I'll tell you first off, I won't touch a shotgun anymore if it doesn't have knee pads.
Really?
That's just, yes, absolutely. It has to have knee pads, just because I enjoy the way you can slide around with knee pads and come in and out of blinks and turn corners and flank enemies with the long slide. I just absolutely love it. So that is my number one perk. Obviously, shot package is a must-have, yep. But it has to have knee pads and shot package. You know, obviously, any accurized aggressive, most of my shotguns have aggressive, and then reinforced or rifled. Small. I'm trying to work on a judgment to get small bore and look in the chamber just as an experiment.
Yep. But seems like a fun one.
Having, Yeah, right, but right now my Matador that I just got is my focus. I swore by the Judgment a couple weeks ago when Trials first started, and I love it. I love playing on my Hunter with it, but for some reason I started using the Party Crasher this weekend. I don't know, Judgment just kept leaving me hanging a little bit, and Party Crasher has a little bit more impact, but I was getting more one shots with it. Eventually, I'm gonna move up to the Matador for threes because I feel like I can handle it. My shotgun's accurate enough to where I don't have to worry too much about missing and getting that follow-up shot.
So have you ever, I mean, so yeah, so we sort of got this, like, this blend where you got Judgment, this fast firing on one end, and you've got, like, Fellwinters, which hits hard but so slow on the other end. I mean, have you ever rocked a Fellwinters before? Or, you know, Matador's pretty similar on paper. A lot of people still swear by it.
I've got, I have two old Fellwinters. One of them has Shot Package, Hammer Forge, and Final Round with Aggressive Ballistics. And that's the first Fellwinters I had, and I used it forever, and I used the Final Round often for Blade Dancers and for Sunsingers. And then I got a knee pad shotgun because I realized how amazing knee pads can be in the right hands. Mm-hmm. So I started using the Fellwinters with knee pads, but I wasn't good enough to the point where I was missing too many shots with the Fellwinters, and it was getting me killed often, especially playing sixes. I would rush in, like, oh, I can take this one on two, but I would die because the Fellwinters is too slow.
Yep.
So I obsessed over getting a Judgment forever, leveling my new Monarchy, got everything but the Judgment, in a good role at least. And then, you know, House of Wolves came out, and I was like, yeah, I got the first thing I did was download the update, went straight to the tower, bought a Judgment, and started rerolling it. Like, this third reroll I got was like a perfect
roll. Yeah, I think I saw that one, or you were talking about that one in the chat. It was just like, if you knew how many motes I spent trying to get my Judgment in shape, like, everybody gets lucky sometimes. It's got to happen sooner or later.
So, exactly.
So you got a shotgun you like, you got your perks that you like. Mm-hmm. Now it's blink shotgun time. I mean, that it's the kind of thing you kind of have to learn it in PvP, but like, how do you practice something like that? How do you get better at it?
Well, if I would say whenever I'm messing around, whether it be like patrol or anything like that, I'll sometimes mess around, pull out my shotgun and do stuff like that, but I don't want to say go into patrol and practice. I mean, obviously, I would say the best thing you can do is go into Rumble, get that first special crate, and play the game called What is a Primary, and just run around like a madman with the shotgun, have fun, and practice on kind of getting a rhythm with your movements, you know, coming into blinks. If I use knee pads, I'm coming into blinks, and then with a slide, or I'm coming out of there down with the knee pads to close gaps. I mean, that's the biggest thing I would say, though, is work on covering your body, because you have to remember, you don't want to get shot on the way there, because then you either die and you don't want to trade either, especially in Rumble or in Trials. Mm-hmm. So you have to worry about giving yourself as much cover as possible, and then you blink to close that final gap, and you hope that you have if you have high enough sensitivity, you can come around him and surprise him from the back. Or, you know, if you play with lower sensitivity, you have to work more on positioning yourself. You can't do the same things that a player at 7 sensitivity or 10 sensitivity can do. So, you know, it's work on your positioning, especially.
So when you're closing the gaps with blink, I mean, so, like, I think standard blink shotgun, like, you jump up and you come down on top of somebody because it's way easier to shoot down than it is to shoot up. Are you mm-hmm. working on, like, horizontal blinks, you know, sort of that last second closing gaps? Or is that something you use in knee pads for? Or are you just chaining, like, all of these different things together?
I would say it definitely depends on the situation. But I would use knee pads more. If they're in knee pads range, I'm using knee pads.
Yep.
Because the problem with blink is they have a, you know, a little tidbit of a second to hit you right when you come out of blink. So I use knee pads a little bit more often to close the gap if they're within that range. But my favorite thing to do with blink is if there's multiple people coming in on me, I'll blink up into the air, and most people won't look up in time to shoot me.
Yep.
Especially if I have a judgment, I'll trap them into a corner. And the biggest thing, honestly, about using blink shotgun is you have to be unpredictable. You have to be unpredictable, because if you got two people chasing you and you know they're right on your butt and they're just hungry for the kill, come around the corner, make a little U-turn, slide into one of them, shotgun that first one, blink up straight into the air. The other guy's going to be like, what the hell is going on? And you're going to shoot him right in the top of the head.
You know, it's so funny. Like, I learned to start just getting up in the air. Like, you watch streams and you just see, like, I mean, you watch A. Gabriel just, like, floating around, but...
Oh, my God. Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Any of the classes, though, like you don't have to run through a doorway or, like, creep around the side. You can float down over the top. Exactly, right?
Sunsingers are amazing at hovering over doors. I use it all the time. I mean, you can bait grenades like that. Awesome.
You know, there's, I want to say it's a Twilight Gap near the Sea Heavy. Right inside, there's just that big crate next to the two doors. Like, that's my favorite crate, because as soon as I realize, like, if you're clear on your flank, you can just stand up there, and people will run in circles around it looking for you. Like, people don't look up. Or good players look up, but newbies don't. Well,
they're like deer. They just don't look up. I mean...
All right. So we there's two more guns we got to talk about, and that's Thorn and Last Word. What? So obviously they're very different. I mean, like, they're both the OP hand cannons, and we love them.
Don't
and they're
touch
so
my
great.
Hand cannons, please.
Right? Yeah. Right. Just leave them be. Make something else good. But there's what I like is that they're such different guns, and like I go through phases. Like, the Last Word is close to my heart. That's probably my favorite. But I go through phases where it just doesn't feel right. Like, I want the Thorn. I want to be able to, like, snipe with my hand cannon. I mean, what are you thinking? When do you choose which one? I mean, it's map dependent, but what do you like, or what techniques do you use when, you know, with each of these guns that is sort of gun specific?
Well, they're definitely a different play style. The Last Word is for the aggressive player, especially if you're using a shotgun. If you're using Last Word with it, you are rushing as frequent as possible. I love the Last Word for its hip fire, for its stopping power in close range, and especially on maps like Thieves' Den, it's wonderful. Thorn, on the other hand, with Thorn and Blink Shotty, you can play both sides. You can be a Thorn anchor and play passive and play a very good defensive role and lock down a portion of a map. But you have a shotgun, so you can also go get them. Mm-hmm. So they're really different play styles. So, for example, I don't think it's a good idea to run two of the same thing or three of the same thing, especially, you know, thorn dots don't stack. So I think it's great to at least have one or two Last Words on the team. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously there's exceptions like Shores of Time. You know, I would probably use a Thorn no matter what my teammate's using on Shores of Time. Thieves' Den, I'm using Last Word. I mean, me and Edgardo both use the Last Word on it. But yeah, I would definitely say I hop around. It kind of depends on what play style I want to play. If I'm just messing around in matchmaking, just pub stomping, I enjoy using Last Word. Just practicing a little bit on with my hip fire. I definitely need to work on my hip fire a bit, so I've been practicing with that.
Well, so let me ask. Like, Last Word, you got fan fire, so you can kind of go full auto with it. And you've got the hip fire precision bonus. I mean, when are you using what? Do you use the fan fire, or are you pulling off individual shots? I mean, at what point do you start looking down sights? Like, and I figure a lot of it's by feel, but like, yeah, what are you thinking when you're using it?
Well, I'll tell you for the one thing. If you watch me, I have a bad habit of going full auto, because when I first got the Last Word, that's all I did. I just pedal to the metal, full auto, and hitting them in the head. But now I use fanfire a lot more, and I try to fanfire as much as possible. It's just better if you can hit the head consistently. Last Word already hits like a truck, and it's fast. So I fanfire as much as possible if they're in medium range. I don't try long-distance engagements. I don't try to hit one, hit two, hit three. Okay, no. I'll try to get a little bit closer. With hip fire, I would say I hip fire more if I'm in a bad position to pull out my shotgun. Like, if they're already pushing me with a shotgun, it might be too late for me to pull mine out even with quick draw. So I might be backing up with my Last Word, jumping once in the air maybe, and using it to hip fire. And I very rarely fully auto hip fire. It's almost always fan fire. But it has so much aim assist that it's, once you get the feel of it, it's not completely ridiculously hard.
Yeah, I think I probably say this earlier in the episode that this is going to go into, but like, it's such a fun gun because it's got a built-in learning curve. Like, if you're coming from other hand cannons, you're going to treat it like another hand cannon, and then you start unlocking these perks and you start trying different things. Like, except for that long range, it's just a versatile thing.
Absolutely, and that's another thing why I'll just pull the last word out, because it's just, it's fun. It's fun to be aggressive sometimes and just do hip fire, like, I enjoy playing with it a lot.
So you talk about Rumble, like, so let me ask. Okay, you log on, nobody else is on, you're just, you know, it's just going to be pubs. What game modes do you like? What maps do you like to see?
Ooh, I enjoy playing Rumble for some warm-ups and to work on my shotgun. What maps do I enjoy? For Rumble, I would say my favorite's probably, I like Asylum a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I keep waiting for them to make Asylum the Trials map. Every week I'm claiming it, but I just keep picking these tough little DLC maps.
Yeah, and Asylum is nice because you can snipe, you can shotgun, yep. You can thorn, you can last word, you can do whatever. You can fusion rifle if you want to. I mean, yep. it's nice. There's different levels, so I like Asylum a lot. Anomaly is also fun because it there's so much cover. You know, you can really confuse people if you're walking around on the bottom mid and you come out of nowhere, blink to catwalk, and shoot them in the face with a shotgun. It's awesome. So those are the two maps that I like to play the most and I have fun on the most.
What's your least favorite map?
Oh, man. Let me think about that for a second. Least favorite map. Maybe Twilight Gap, to be honest. Oh,
I feel the same way. It's just, it's a weird one. Like, it's big enough.
It's awkward.
It's awkward, right? Like, you want to be able to pull out a sniper on it. There's, like, two lanes maybe on the whole thing. But, yeah, just, like, a lot of tight corners. Yeah.
Exactly, and it's like the map can't make up its mind what it wants to be.
Exactly, right? Just weird levels and all that. Well, cool. So so let's talk a little bit more about team strategy. Like, you know, people listen to this. You know, people are going into trials every weekend. You know, mm-hmm. when you're in trials and you got two other guys that you communicate with, what are, you know, what kind of call-outs are you making or sort of non-call-out stuff are you making? Like, what's important to say out loud, and what kind of stuff do you not want to say out loud or, you know, stay quiet on?
Okay, I would say definitely you should be calling out as much as possible, but you don't want to keep, you know, there shouldn't be any clutter. But the main things you want to be calling out are if you get someone weak or if you're weak, because I personally want to know. I'm not going to call out a push if one or two of my teammates say, I'm weak, I'm red bar. That's just not wise. Even if the other team is down one, it's worth it to make damn sure that your team can get a full push on them. Another thing that I hammer into people's heads before rounds start and before matches start is don't clump up. There's nothing worse than when one grenade hits two or three people mm-hmm. and you get squad wiped in the first 15 seconds. So always try to talk about using different approaches. So I'll say, hey, Gardo, let's try the left side. You know, we'll switch it up. We'll switch our approaches up a little bit. If we see the other team is adapting, then we'll switch up our approaches and try to catch them off guard. If they're not adapting, if they're going the same way over and over again, we might just use the same strategy. I mean, if it's not broke, we don't fix it.
Are you switching up your loadout over the course of a match, or are you pretty much locked in for the rest of it?
Ooh, for trials, I would say no. Unless I get frustrated, then I might switch out of Judgment and go to Party Crasher.
Sure.
So, ooh, why didn't I kill him? Go to Party Crasher. But that's about it. I would say for Trials especially, once I get the hang of something, I might switch. This map is a little bit different. This map, I do adapt a lot. I might pull out a shotgun if we go up against some really sweaty players, just because I'm not that confident with a sniper. Mm-hmm. But Edgardo got tired of sniping, so he made me switch.
Yeah. So, okay, what happens if you're playing trials and let's say you get sniped, like, first 10 seconds of the round? What's your job when you're the first person who dies?
Definitely watch the push. Call out the push, call out where they're coming from, and you need to tell your teammates and get their attention, kind of a little bit of direction, as in, you know, throw a grenade on the platform, throw a grenade middle door. I would say definitely instruct your teammates where to throw grenades and where to shoot. Personally, what I do, if I'm the first person to die, if I get picked, I'm going to be telling one person to get the revive and focus on the revive, and I'm going to be telling the other person to focus on pushing them back, using his primary, especially if they have a thorn, to putting ticks into all the enemies so they can't push and overcome mm-hmm. us. Then one teammate will get the revive. He'll have a shield, I'll have a shield, and we'll be able to use our primaries to hopefully over-push and finish those guys that he was able to defensively take down.
So, you know, you play with a lot of subscribers every week. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's interesting to me. Like, Destiny is a competitive PvP game, but it feels a lot different than a lot, you know, like playing Call of Duty. I think some of it's just like we've got kind of an older crowd for the most part. But, like, when you're playing with new people, like, it's a different feel, like, just attitude-wise. You know, what's the ideal kind of person you want to play with?
I want to play with someone who doesn't complain after each death, who instead asks, you know, what could I have done to not die there? Hey, Texas, I'm going to try this approach because I noticed no one went this way. You know, I want to play with a person who's always thinking, who's not just, you know, playing follow the leader. Or, you know, who's listening to Simon Says. I want to play with someone who's thinking about, you know, hey, I got the revive. Who's willing to make call-outs even if they're like, hey, on the left of us. You know, anything like that. I want someone who's willing to learn and who's willing to apply the things and to execute the things that I'm trying to teach them.
How did you get into streaming?
Man. I think one day I was like, hey, this would be kind of cool.
Yeah?
And, I started streaming when I played RuneScape, old school RuneScape, and I streamed like player killing and doing cool stuff like that, and got a couple followers, and that was cool, I guess. And I was like, oh yeah. So I started playing Xbox, and I started getting decent PvP, and then I was like, hey, some people actually really like to watch sweaties, so I would play sweaties, and then I would stream, and I'd get like 4 or 5 viewers. And then what really kicked it off is that I realized that if you interact with your viewers and you know, you not just talk to them, but you actually play with them and you try to teach them in games. So now I've been playing a lot more during the week, you know, doing PvE stuff, doing PvP stuff like that with my viewers. And, you know, I get a more consistent, you know, base now when I log in and I start streaming. You know, people want to come talk to me. You know, some people say I'm entertaining. You know, I try. But I try to be as helpful as possible and teach people and be fun. You know, that's the, you know, everyone gets frustrated, but I try to have fun.
Sure. With trials now, like, carries have become a thing. Like, you've got a ton of people who want to play with you. You've got subscribers and you've got donators. Like, do you feel like this has become a job for you? Like, do you feel obligated to be on every weekend, like, trying to get that, you know, people to the lighthouse, you know, that you play with? Or is it less fun because of that? I mean, how has it changed how you play Destiny?
I'm all about, you know, having a competitive nature, and I would say that it's definitely made me more competitive because I'm playing with one other person, and sometimes the games are a lot harder. So I'd say it's more high stakes when if you've already dropped a bad game, because let's say you DC'd or something like that, and now it's 4-4, and they've got 8 wins. You know, they've got 8 wins on their card. This is the last game. It's 4-4, and the other team has supers. You know, that's a lot of pressure. It helps you, you know, cope with pressure when you're playing sweaters or something like that. But otherwise, I don't think it's changed how I play Destiny too much. I'm definitely always busy, but I'm just trying to find a balance right now. And, you know, I'm definitely getting a lot better at that.
I do want to talk a little bit about the Taken King, the new one's coming up. But, like, so in Trials, you see Sunsinger, you see Blade Dancer. You know, what different things have you tried? How often do you change it up?
It's definitely on a week-to-week basis. Different maps I prefer. I don't play my Titan that much. It's just not my... I'm not that good with the Titan, to be honest. I'm just not. I have a lot of fun playing with flashbangs, but otherwise, I just don't play well with it. Sunsinger, on the other hand, I'm very well-versed in using the flame shield with the shotgun. I really enjoy using firebolts because they're just like arc bolts. Mm-hmm. But I do switch it up between Blade and Sunsinger. Those are my two favorite. And then sometimes if I'm sniping, I will play Gunslinger and I'll put on the crest.
Does Voidwalker get any love?
Oh, man. If I've got a bad Juju and Obsidian Mine on a strike, maybe.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Well, so I imagine you've probably seen all the Taken King stuff. I'm excited for these subclasses. What are you looking forward to?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm scared of the Titan.
Yeah, right? I want to say, like he said in the stream, like, when you see this guy running at you, you will want to run in the other direction. Because the guy's got a hammer he can throw at you. Like,
and they can move faster, and I mean, personally, I think Gabriel can move fast enough as it is, so I don't want to give him a flaming hammer to throw at me from across the map.
Exactly. What about what about the new what's it, the Stormcaller, Stormbringer, the new Warlock class? Do you see
the Jedi powers?
Right? Like, yeah. do you see that one overtaking Sunsinger or getting some action at least?
I do, but I'm worried about the melee, because if you look at the melee description, it says it's like it increases melee distance.
Great. Last thing they needed.
Sunsinger already has a lot of melee distance, and Warlocks in general have a lot of melee distance. So what are we talking about, just like a little tentacle of lightning and it's easy to miss? Or, you know, I'm worried about how good the melee is going to be. The super looks interesting. I mean, I guess it really depends on, is the animation going to be really long? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be something that you can quickly, like a melee, just snap out and take back in, and you have some charge remaining? So that's where I'm... How many times can you start it and stop it? And how long it takes for the animation and how long it takes for it to activate?
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, I guess a lot of this is just going to come down to, like, DPS, right? Like, if it takes 4 seconds of lightning, you know, a maxed out Titan to take him down, then probably it won't see as much action. But yeah, no, that's interesting. Well, so what about the new game modes? We've got Rift, which is the capture the flag kind of one, and then Mayhem, which is all supers all the time, which sounded ridiculous but kind of looked cool. Are you looking forward to those?
I mean, I'm gonna stay out of Mayhem because I like my Destiny tracker score. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. I mean, I'm gonna try Mayhem out. You know, little golden gun action. Like, why not? I think it's going to be everyone trying out the new classes. I guess that's kind of why you want to do that. But realistically, it's going to turn into everyone using Golden Gun, I think, at least.
So that's the end game, right? Because you got 3 long-range shots every couple seconds that are instant kill?
Yeah, exactly. Or 4 if you use this, if you use a symbiote. I don't foresee that working out well. I mean, think about it. What other super would you use? I mean, obviously the Titan Solar Hammer of Death might be nice.
Sure.
But what is that? Can they tank one shot from a Golden Gun? If they can, okay, I can probably still get you with 2, but it depends how you're moving around. A Void Walker, maybe for like some montage clips from across the map, Nova Bombs, but...
Yeah, fair enough. Well, cool. Well, anything else you wanted to cover?
That's about it off the top of my head.
All right. Well, thank you so much to our special guest, Texas Prod. You can find him on Twitch at twitch.tv/mowthetank and on Twitter as @Texas_Prod, and also posting on the Crucible Playbook subreddit as RSDon. Thanks so much.
Absolutely.
So what did you guys think about that interview, right? What was your favorite part?
I love the part where the person you interviewed, you know, like thoroughly answered your questions. And in no way am I just speaking in super vague tones, so in using vague language, so it sounds like I've heard this before, but actually we recorded this part way before you recorded that interview.
Yep.
That's what I thought.
Yep. I thought the same thing. Did you like it when I talked to that guy or possibly 2 of those guys about Destiny? I think that was the part that really brought it home for me.
I actually really enjoyed the guy, (S), that you spoke to in the interview.
My favorite part was when you talked about guns and killing people.
Oh, yeah.
Destiny.
We certainly mentioned that several times.
Destiny.
The gun conversation. We talked about shotguns and snipers, probably. It seems likely that we would have done that.
What if you did not talk about guns, like, in any sense?
I mean, we got the guys from Inclement. Like, if we could go a whole interview talking with Texas Prod about without hearing about shotguns, I have failed. I am sorry. I did not.
It turns out you guys got very distracted and went deep into the lore about Oryx and Crota. It's like nothing to do with the gameplay. Are the Vex really traveling through time?
Yep.
Just a full interview on that.
I mean, I just love arguing about time travel. Like, it's really interesting to listen to when I argue about time travel. So it makes sense that that's where we went with it, you know.
Well, guys, I think we covered a lot of great stuff. I think we covered a lot in this podcast. I'm happy with it, right?
Yeah, I think we got it. Everybody, you know, we're going to post this up on the sub. We got lots of comments. Tell us who you want to hear from. If you got that next interview, we want to know. Got if there's a gun or a map or, you know, we finally have to argue about whether Thorne is terrible or not. Let us know what you want to hear.
We're putting that one off as, for as long as we can. But, yeah, it's going to happen. Let's be honest.
Yeah, no way.
Yeah, we are here to do and to talk about what you guys want to talk about. You know, this is a community thing, and we love the community. And so that totally dictates what we do, and we are listening to the suggestions. Really appreciate all the suggestions we heard from the first, you know, our little pilot episode. And we're taking all of that into account. So keep it coming.
Yeah, guys, keep it up.
Stay tuned, everyone.
Yeah, so next week, I thought about it. I'm really going to go ahead with my Cauldron-only podcast. It'll be a sister podcast to this one where I, Bones, only talk about the map Cauldron once a week for about 45 minutes. So I'll have that up. I'll get some interviews about people who love Cauldron. And, you know, maybe it'll be great.
Yeah, I think you could probably get everyone who really likes Cauldron all on one episode. And then it's going to get tough. But
yeah. I'll make it work.
All right. Guys, I think we got it. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Peace out.
Laters.